The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Hope you had a fantastic four-day Thanksgiving weekend with people you love. And we're raring to go for a new week here. It was a tough weekend around our region, I will tell you that. And we're going to get into that. Let's get right into The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Okay, so as you just heard in Heather's newscast, a couple of young men were shot in Kent on Wednesday. Their father, as the story is being reported, went out to investigate what happened, and he was shot and killed. And it is time that we get real with all of this stuff. It is time that we not just say what people think they want us to say. Because in the soundbite that, you know, Heather just had, and this is what they're saying right now. This is the mom and the sister of the man who was shot, and his two sons were shot as well.
My son is a good guy.
He takes care
of his kids.
I say that he's that type of person that help people, he helps people.
And he don't get in no trouble.
He don't do no trouble stuff. He's not that type of guy to, like, deal with the police or anything. He don't do that. Whoever did this, please come and tell us why. Why?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll come in right away and tell you why. This is almost certainly a gang shooting. I mean, there were three shootings in Kent this weekend, and the police all believe that all three were retaliatory. And so when we keep repeating this nonsense that, oh, all he did was help people and he's a good person, and may have been to a certain extent, but we in the media are not doing anybody, and we're certainly not doing our society and our region any favors when we keep saying that these are all good people. They were just getting their life turned around. They've always been nothing but saints. It doesn't make any sense when the police know that these are retaliatory gang shootings. It doesn't make sense for us to only repeat what parents and siblings and mothers and fathers and sons and daughters say. These are gang related. So let me explain what's happening. Let me tell you, and if you are a listener to this show, you know exactly what I'm about to say. Joe Biden has left our southern border wide open. The Mexican cartels are hiring mules like the one who was arrested in Pioneer Square about 2 weeks ago. They're hiring mules to bring cocaine and meth and heroin and fentanyl up to King County. The reason this is the destination is because our county prosecutor, Dan Satterberg, has legalized personal possession of all drugs. So this is the best place in the country to be a drug addict. And so with that many customers, the cartels come up here, and then they need somebody to sell the product to the addicts. And the sellers are gangs. They are in a turf war because there are millions of dollars at stake. And I get so frustrated after a weekend like this because I grew up here. I love this area. I want this area to become a place that's not just constantly in a state of fear. And I cannot stand that nobody will talk truth about what's happening on the streets. I'm sorry for this family and their loss, but there is a greater than 95% chance, and I'm saying that to avoid any legal issues because I think it's like 99.99, that this is all drug and gang related. And it's not just in Kent. The mayor of Kent, by the way, Dana Ralph, I'll ask her all these tough questions. She's going to join me at 1:30 this afternoon. But we had 3 shootings in 4 days in Kent. Then at the Tacoma Mall, this man told our news partners at Cairo 7 what I was just telling you.
Wasn't no mass shooting. I'd rather it be, some one-on-one thing as opposed to someone just trying to take out the mall.
Yeah, it wasn't random. It was a gang shooting at the Tacoma Mall. And the thing is, everybody is so desensitized to all of this that they don't even pay attention anymore.
We were here a couple hours beforehand, but it was crazy. Like, once I seen and heard about it, it was very scary.
There was another one a couple of weeks ago in South Center down in Seattle.
Yeah, so
it's getting to be more and more of a thing now.
And I think it gets worse during the holidays.
They shouldn't bring a gun into a mall on Black Friday, but I mean, the world's crazy, so you never know.
By the way, I totally agree with that. You should not bring a gun into a mall on Black Friday. The other 364 days, maybe. But on Black Friday, you absolutely, and I know that everybody's going to forget that I said this by the day after Thanksgiving next year, but I absolutely believe that you should not bring a gun into a mall on Black Friday. Okay? And I hope you listen to that, too. This woman told Deborah Horn at Cairo 7 she will not live in fear.
I had no idea, but obviously there's a lot of crime going on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will it stop you from coming to the mall?
I don't think so. I'm not driven by fear. I'm not that kind of person. It's more so I hope that when things like that happen, I'm not around, but they don't deter me from having or living my life.
Okay, now, here is the thing that's going to make a lot of people listening right now uncomfortable. Because, as you know, we have a huge... we are the most listened to local news talk show, ratings-wise, in the United States of America. And I know I have a lot of people from both parties. I don't identify with either party because I think it is party politics that leads to so much corruption. But it is clear that the one party control, the Democratic Party control of all of the state, every statewide office, federal office, no, statewide. Every statewide office is a Democrat. In most cities, and my guest at 1:30, Dana Ralph, is somewhat unique. She says, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican. I just want to make my city better. And I like that about her a lot. But this is Democrat control. And it's not just here. I mean, it is here. It's everywhere here. 3 shootings in 4 days in Kent. Fatal shooting in downtown Everett this weekend. The Tacoma Mall shooting, people said, was chaos. All around our region, bullets are flying. King County, under Dow Constantine, no youth jail, let's let all... And I'll tell you what's going on with that no youth jail thing, too. The gangs are specifically giving guns and recruiting 14- and 15-year-olds because they know that they're not going to get punished. Why? Because Democrats are in control, and they believe as a party platform that 14 and 15-year-olds who murder and rape should not be punished. So what happens? Well, the 25-year-olds who are the leaders of the gangs, they're getting the 14 and 15-year-olds, and they are recruiting them into the gang life, and they're making them their bag men, their gun men, all of that. And that's what's happening. Again, nobody's willing to address this. Nobody in the media is willing to talk about this except us. But this is what's happening around the entire region right now. It's led to death and chaos and rampant drug use, rampant gang warfare. And, you know, and then you hear the interim Seattle police chief, Diaz, and he said, oh, no, only a small percentage of our shootings are gang-related. I talk to his cops, a lot of them often, and they say that he's full of nonsense. Because they all know. They know what's going on. But for some reason, politicians and police chiefs, sadly, are nothing but politicians in our region. They don't dare say the truth about any of this stuff. And so this is where we are. This is what we're dealing with. And until somebody besides me is willing to start talking truth, and I'll see if the Kent mayor is willing to. Because all everything I've just said to you, I will say to the mayor of Kent. Like I said, I like her. My guess is she'll be willing to support pretty much everything that I've said here. We'll see. But that's what's going on throughout our region. You try to go to the mall on a Thanksgiving weekend, on Black Friday, and you can't do it. Because everyone's afraid. Because of the culture that has been cultivated by Democrat leadership. And so one question that I will ask you, I'd like you to text me. Because like I said, I know a lot of Democrats listen to this show, and it is not my intent to come on here and insult you. But when people are dying at the extent that they are in our region, how can you continue to support the one-party culture that has created such chaos? Shoot me a text, 888-973-CHIRO. That's 888-973-5476. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I told you so.
Hey, what does $100 billion buy you? Well, after the... this is so perfect for this agency. After the Husky football game on Friday night, where the Dogs got spanked by the Cougs, and you know, we're a house divided, my wife and I, two daughters Huskies, one daughter a Coug, you know what that makes me? 50-50. I don't need any more trouble than I already get in. So the Cougs just whooped on the Husky Dogs on Friday night. And then a lot of people, their bellies full of beer, they just wanted to get home and go piddle. So they got on a Sound Transit train. So what does $100 billion buy you? Well, It buys you a train that gets stranded between Husky Stadium and the U District. You couldn't even make it a mile. It gets stranded. So the passengers, I gotta go. Believe me, if anyone is empathetic about these passengers, it's me. Because as I've told you before, I have, and I'm sure the doctors would back this up, I have what may be the smallest bladder on any man in America and possibly in the Western Hemisphere. My bladder's teeny tiny. So they're on the train. The train gets stuck. They're just sitting there and sitting there. And finally they say, I gotta go. So they start using the emergency exit to get off the train. Sound Transit, $100 billion Sound Transit, could not communicate with the back three cars on the train, which is insane. They say, well, because a cable was severed. That's just 2021. You could have sent out a tweet and somebody would have gotten the tweet on their phone and they could have told all the passengers on the train what was going on. But the brain trust at Sound Transit, I didn't think of that. We got Twitter. Oh, maybe we should have done that. Oh, my goodness. So they're stuck. They're using emergency access. They're walking through the tunnel. I wonder, I don't know the answer to this. I wonder how many of them went potty in the tunnel as they were all trying to escape. Cairo 7 talked to passengers exiting the train.
It was a scramble. Some described it as chaos or really uncomfortable feeling when they didn't get any communication. So a lot of them just took matters into their own hands and walked off the cars through the emergency exits and up through the tunnels and finally walked their way to the U District stop. Now, I was able to talk with Sound Transit tonight about what caused this electrical error for when all four cars lost power. That's when they lost communication. And so really, riders were stranded. They didn't know what to do. Earlier, I was able to talk with John Gallagher with Sound Transit. He said he's never seen anything like this in his 3 years with the company.
Wow! This has never happened in 3 whole years? Wow! That's amazing! What a track record, no pun intended, of success! I wonder if they have one of those signs that says no major passenger disruptions in, and then they flip over the cards every day in 1,200 days. And now if you're down there on Saturday, no major problems in 0 days.
And something did cut through that line. And what that was will have to be determined by an investigation.
But you don't believe it to be suspicious in nature that somebody may be holding scissors or wire cutters.
No. There's no reason to believe that's true at all. Right now, at this time, it really seems clearly to be a case of an accident.
$100 billion. If you live in the Sound Transit taxing district and you have three kids, your family is going to pay $125,000 as your contribution, and they couldn't get a post-Husky football crowd from the stadium to the U District even. That's one slick operation they have going there at Sound Transit, and that is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Coming up next, a local politician has a big announcement to make, and he's going to make it here. That's coming up right after we check the news here on the Dory Monson Show.
Cairo
lot of people are expecting that there may be a red wave in America coming up in 2022. Is this man hoping to surf that wave? King County Councilman Reagan Dunn joins us to make a significant announcement. Reagan, always good to talk to you. Appreciate you coming on.
Dory, thanks so much for having me. And yeah, I just wanted your listeners to know that on your show, I am announcing that I am running for the United States Congress in the 8th Congressional District.
Wow. I saw some polling over the weekend. You're doing really well. But I have to admit, Reagan, I have mixed emotions because I would love to have you in Congress. I would hate to lose you in King County. So tell me about that decision process.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I got to tell you, I am just so deeply concerned about the direction of the United States, Dory. The president and the Congress back there in D.C., including our incumbent, Kim Schreier, they're making the country weaker. They're not making the country stronger. Just about every economic indicator and our view in the world and the retreat in Afghanistan tell me that they're failing at their jobs. And I'm going to use my experience here representing constituents in the 8th Congressional District at the county council level to try and get the country on the right track.
So what difference can you make? I mean, you're one of, what is it, 535 or whatever the number is?
Yeah, 435 members of the House.
That's it. Okay. All right. So what difference can you make that is significant enough to overwhelm the 1 out of 9 difference you can make on a King County Council?
Well, and it's a good question. First of all, look, my county council seat will be in good Republican hands. There are several people who will do a very, very good job if I were to be elected to Congress, and they're strong leaders that I've helped to cultivate over the years. And to be 1 of 9 is important, and I've been honored to do that job. But I cannot let the United States continue to go in the direction it's going. I mean, the incumbent has increased the national debt by nearly 50% in just a couple of years, from $20 to $29 trillion. You are seeing the pain at the gas pumps. You are seeing the pain in inflation, where the average cost of goods has gone up 6.2% nationally, but 9% in King County. So all of a sudden, everybody just took a 9% pay cut in the last year. And then I'm telling you, what I see, Dory, is this: at the local level, Congress continues to pass these incredibly irresponsible spending packages. They are delegating the spending down to the local governments like King County, and King County is throwing that stuff at all kinds of just unnecessary expenses that have anything to do with COVID-19 or anything else. And we cannot afford as a country to continue to spend irresponsibly like that. And I am going to be one of the votes that stops that.
I was not aware of this. So King County inflation right now is 9%, which would be 45% the already horrible national inflation rate?
Yeah, it's higher here than it is across. Yeah, because there's going to be local market fluctuations. Yeah, and the changes.
Why has that not been reported?
Well, it needs to be reported.
It's one sure of does. Well, we're reporting it right now. Yeah, but seriously, we're looking at 9% inflation. So if somebody's making $50,000 a year, all of a sudden they're making 44.5 is what you're telling me. Or 40.
They are making 44.5. Yeah. And think about the folks that are on fixed income.
45.5. I'm real careful about numbers. 45.5. Yeah.
45.5. And that's real money to anybody, and particularly to our seniors on fixed incomes. But here's the deal. Look, you're talking about, what, eight, nine votes we need to pick up in the United States House of Representatives for Republicans to take control. That starts with local elections like the one I'm announcing here on your show today. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a long and tough slog to earn the voters' trust. But I will tell you right now, head-to-head, in the poll that pulled the new 8th Congressional District just here a few days ago, I am leading the incumbent already by 4%. That's 4%, and that's before I'm even announced as a candidate. And I'm leading all other Republicans by greater than a 2-to-1 margin, well outside the margin of error for the poll. So Schreier is in trouble, and I'm going to use my experience to try and, you know, go ahead and give the change of the guard there for the 8th congressional. But more broadly, it is for the change of control of Congress.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I was looking at Kim Schreier because I was talking about this ridiculous stock trade she and her husband made a couple weeks ago, But I think off the top of my head, correct me if I'm wrong, she outspent her opponent last time around something like 6-to-1 and only won by 3 points. And that's almost unheard of. So my question for you, Reagan Dunn, is the GOP going to just throw all kinds of money at you to oppose her?
Yes. The answer is yes.
You know that for certain. You've had those conversations.
Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of those conversations, and they will continue. You know, here's what folks want to see. They want to see a strong candidate start, and they want to see a candidate raise money, and they want to see a candidate show that they can run a credible campaign. And, you know, I'm not running against really anybody, but there's nobody else in this race on the Republican side that has ever won an election or has a proven history of winning elections. And it's not just about winning this year with what I think is going to be a red wave. It's about holding the seat in future years. And, you know, Joe Biden won my district on the King County Council, the quarter of a million people there, by 61%. And yet I just beat an incumbent elected official by 25%. I know how to win and hold the seat. I've earned the trust of the voters. And I can assure you, every office I've ever run for, I've set the record in fundraising for that office. I hold the state record for county commissioner council races. I hold the record for an open attorney general's seat race. I don't think I can set the record for a congressional race, but I will do very well, and we'll continue to raise the money to get the message out of a fiscally responsible government. We have got to resist the urge to have government solve all of our problems. And
I've heard that a million times. Right. And I had Donald Trump on my show during the 2015 campaign. And he said he was going to, you know, cut government, go for a balanced budget. I mean, I've heard this from everybody, Reagan, for as long as I've been doing a talk show.
Sure.
And the allure of trying to buy permanency as a party is so strong. And you just keep throwing money at people and thinking that that's going to get you their forever vote. So I don't know. I respect what you're, I hope what you're saying is true. I just don't believe it anymore.
Look at my record. So here's the deal. I have 4 terms on the King County Council. We've had 30 or so tax increase votes, and I am by far the lowest. I just have a few votes that I thought were really important to take generally around emergency services or infrastructure. And so there's maybe 3. The next closest member is like 18 votes out of those 30. And then the Democrats are all either 29 or 30 of 30. So even though there's pressure from the nonprofit sector, there's pressure from various trade unions, there's pressure from government associations, Reagan Dunn has held the line on fiscal discipline. And you need candidates who are willing to say no. Because, for example, as I look at Kim Schreier's voting record, I was looking at it this weekend, she hasn't said no. I can't find a single no vote she's taken. I'm sure there's one or two. But you've got to resist the urge to say yes to everything. And that's what Nancy Pelosi is doing. And that's why we are seeing out-of-control inflation pain at the gas pumps.
Okay. I have 2 really quick questions, and we're really short on time.
Sure.
There's a seat, in case there are people who have moved here recently and may not know our political history, there's a seat your mom held for a long, long time, right?
Sure. That's right.
How long? How long was Jennifer?
My mom held it for 6 terms. And, and she was the highest ranking Republican woman in Congress when she was there. She died too early, and God, I miss her, but, you know, I'd like to think she'd be...
Did that plant the seed for what you're doing right now?
Oh, yeah. How can you grow up in a political household and not sort of want to do the same thing your parents did? Look, I believe...
I don't know. My girls don't want to be talk show hosts. I guarantee you that. They've seen what it's done to Dad, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, that's good for them. It's awesome. It's fun to do something your parent did. But you learn an awful lot around the dinner table. You don't think you're learning, but you are learning. So anyway, we're going to go take Mom's seat back. That's the plan. And it is, if it's the last thing on this earth I do, Dory, I am running like you've never seen a candidate run. And you will not be unimpressed with the quality of this campaign. And Kim Schreier and I are going to have a very spirited debate about the direction of the United States. You can count on that.
Okay, and finally, the people who voted for you for a return to the King County Council just a month ago, they might feel a little burned by this decision. Do you have to resign? I don't even know the answer to this. Do you have to resign from the King County Council to run?
No, you do not.
Oh, really?
So I have. No, you don't. So I have a four-year term on the King County Council. That remains. If I lose, I'll still continue to be on the King County Council. But I can assure my, you know, and if I were to get elected to a different office, Congress, I wouldn't start that until January of 2023. And I'll just tell you this, my council constituency will get high quality, good representation, regardless of whether I'm elected or not elected. And I'm committed to that. That's the most important thing. And my team that surrounds me on council staff will do that as well. So it'll be positive.
All right. Reagan Dunn just announcing today that he is running for Congress in the 8th District against incumbent Kim Schreier. Reagan, I appreciate you coming on with me and doing this on my show, and we'll stay in touch.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Dory. I really appreciate it.
You bet. All right, Reagan Dunn joining us. Let us know your thoughts. You can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. So a couple of weeks ago, Kyle Rittenhouse was acquitted on charges of murder and assault when he shot in self-defense. And I played for you a soundbite last week where Stephen Colbert said he didn't like the result of that trial. So here's his solution to him not liking something.
Big news on Friday was that after being accused of crossing state lines, killing two people, and wounding another last year during a Black Lives Matter protest, Kyle Rittenhouse was...
By the way, it was a riot where they were just burning down buildings and smashing car windows. A Black Lives Matter protest. Okay, if that's what you have to do to... justify what you're about to say. Go ahead.
Acquitted on all counts. Okay.
What a brain dead audience. I'm glad my audience isn't brain dead.
Yeah. Okay. Cards on the table. I'm not a legal expert, so I can't tell you whether or not Kyle Rittenhouse broke the law. But I can tell you this. If he didn't break the law, we should change the law. That seems simple.
So what Stephen Colbert and the brain dead people in his audience are saying is if somebody has a loaded chambered Glock pointed at you and you have a gun to defend yourself, you should just get murdered because it's the liberal way. That's what they're all plotting for. One guy had a loaded Glock pointed at Rittenhouse, and he shot and blew off, you know, his bicep. And the audience is applauding for, we should change the law, so you should just submit to murder. Well, now, Kyle Rittenhouse, he wants to go to Arizona State University. Woke students there are demanding that he be kicked out of ASU. I have a better idea. How about everybody who believes that a not guilty person gets kicked out, that they should be kicked out? I wish I had a live audience. They'd go berserk for that, even more than Colbert's brain dead people. News in Fastest 15 next.